Today we are going to have Rally Sunday. What does that mean? We're going to kick off the church Bible school. It's not Bible school, Sunday school. And we've had a lot of work done by Tracy Johns. God bless her. And I think we should give her a hand for... Do you have anything special you'd like to say?
I just want to kick off the year with some fun today, hopefully. on the lawn after church. We have some food and frisbee. And if you're parked on the north side on the gravel, you might get hit, so you might want to move your car.
You've been duly warned. So right after church, we'll have the ultimate frisbee. Sunday, this afternoon at 3 o'clock, we have a council meeting, short council meeting. Anybody is welcome. Coming up here at 5:30 on Wednesday, bell practice. And we have the women's group. We'll have a noon luncheon kicking off the fall, Thursday, September 13th, here at the church. I don't have a time. Is that?
It's at noon.
At noon.
For lunch. Mm-hmm.
Are there any other announcements?
Did I mention this? Habitat for Humanity has started annual sales, and this one is their all annual winter sale, and it's going to be at the Summit Church on Saturday, and the times are 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And if you have any questions, I'm going to post this out there on the bulletin board so you can read it. And also, this old man here is turning 75 today, so let's sing happy birthday.
Coming up or in the next week?
Well, he's just a pup. I'm 82.
You're not having your birthday today.
Two weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, and you never got sang to?
No.
Okay. Stumbling through this. Would you please stand if you're able? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. Holy God, holy and merciful, holy and mighty, you are the river of life, you are the everlasting wellspring, you are the fire of rebirth. Glory to you for the oceans and lakes, for rivers and streams, for the clear creek and our surrounding watershed. Honor to you for cloud and rain, for dew and snow. Your waters are below us, around us, above us. Our life is born in you. You are the fountain of resurrection. Praise to you for the saving waters. Noah and the animals survived the flood. Haggard discovers your well. The Israelites escape through the sea, and they drink from your gushing rock. Naaman wishes his leprosy away, and the Samaritan woman will never be thirsty again. Praise to you for the water of baptism and for your word that saves us in this sacrament. Breathe your spirit into all who are gathered here and into all creation. Illumine our days, enliven our bones, dry our tears, wash away the sin within us, and drown the evil around us. Almighty God, you give us a new birth by water and the Holy Spirit, and forgives us all our sins, strengthen us in all our goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Our gathering song, 731. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Father, your generous goodness comes to us new every day. By the work of your Spirit, lead us to acknowledge your goodness, give thanks for your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated.
The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 35, verses 4 to 7, 8. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will say Psalm 146 responsively. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being.
Put not your trust in rulers, in mortals in whom there is no help. When they breathe their last,
they return to earth, and in that day their thoughts perish.
Happy are they who have the God of Jacob for their help, whose hope is in the Lord, their God.
Who made heaven and earth, the seas and all that is in them, who keeps promises forever.
Who gives justice to those who are oppressed and food to those who hunger. The Lord sets the captive free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord cares for the stranger. The Lord sustains the widow and orphan, but frustrates the way of the wicked.
The Lord shall reign forever. Your God will shine throughout all generations. Hallelujah.
The second reading is from James, chapter 2, verses 1 to 17. My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, have a seat here, please, while to the one who is poor you say, stand there, or sit at my feet, have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For the one who said, you shall not commit adultery, also said, you shall not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but if you murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Chapter of Mark, beginning with the 24th verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. But she answered him, sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he said to her, for saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon was gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee, in the region of Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looked up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, he has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now you may be seated.
Now we're going to have a special presentation with Adam and Grace.
Mine is working. Mine is working, yeah.
Okay, This is a quick presentation of what Adam and Grace did while they were at Sky Ranch this summer. This is their fourth summer at Sky Ranch. Sky Ranch is up in the Pinnegree Park area on the northwest side of Estes Park Mountains. So you go to Fort Collins, you go through the Hooter Canyon like this, then you go up, and it's a little ways to get there, but it's a pretty special place, and I'm going to give it to them now. Another thing is, if any of you wonder what our teachers are doing in our schools, Adam and Grace did this whole thing. So I had absolutely nothing to do with this.
Okay. Thank you for... So this is a presentation about what we did at Sky Ranch.
Thank you.
I forgot
everything
you
were
doing.
Oh.
Did you lose our mic? Just talk loud.
Just project.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah. So when we were at Sky Ranch, my favorite part was meeting new people and getting to see my pen pal from last year.
My favorite part was our cabin relationship. I was in a Alessa cabin, the brother cabin of Grace's cabin, Tutu.
Together, we were to Alessa. Three things we learned.
First, you don't have to know the cabin families. You don't have to know the people in your cabin because you learn all sorts of things about them. You can become really close.
All around the country. There are tons of kids that come to Sky Ranch and are all connected by the fact that we are God's children.
God loves us. Overall, we remember that God will always love us no matter how big or small our sins are. Jesus died for the forgiveness of our sins, and we are very grateful.
We have themes of the week, so every day was a different theme. The first day was creation. We learned about how God created the earth, how to keep it clean, and that everything exists with a purpose. The second day was community. We learned how we are all connected to God, and He finds time to listen to all of our prayers and keep us safe at the same time.
The third day was abundance. We learned that God will always have an abundance of food, safety, and love for everyone. The fourth day was action. We learned how to take action in the world and do good things.
The fifth day was sent. We learned that God sent us out on a mission to live our life in faith and love. We had so much fun at camp, and we always learned so much. We hope to go next year.
Thank you to all of those who donated to the shoe drive and helped spread the word. We appreciate your support. We also know some of you donated money, and we appreciate that as well. Thank you.
We received 500 pairs of shoes.
You and peace from God our Father. Part of this today is there'll be a little bit talking about the gospel reading later on, but the first thing we kind of want to do as a council, we wanted to update the entire congregation while we're all assembled here to let you know what our plans are, what we've been working on, what your council has been working diligently on, trying to find a future for St. Luke's, what we envision the future of this church looking like. This afternoon at 3, council is meeting to work over compensation package issues and trying to get to determine what we are able to pay this our interim minister that we are looking at, Pastor Larry Seidow, that is actually, he's in Roswell, New Mexico now. He's a retired minister. He's willing to come up here as an interim for the next probably 10 to 13 months, whatever it takes during our call process. and he's willing to do that. Also, tomorrow night we're having a meeting with our church council, our entire council, and the entire UCC church council are doing a video interview with Pastor Seidow, so we can actually talk to him face to face, and we can each ask questions of him, and he can ask questions of us, and we can finalize more of the details of what this relationship will look like. And part of his interim ministry, what he is charged to do as an interim, is to lead us through the call process. He will help us do what we need to do to develop the documents that tells us as a congregation who we are, basically our resume, the ministry site profile that we have to develop as part of the center process for call. It defines who we are, what we are as a congregation, what we serve in this community, who we serve, how we serve, what our mission is. And there's been a lot of upheaval the past couple years. It's been a trying time. We've had some difficulties, but in the end, God has a plan for all of us, for each of us individually, and for this congregation as a whole. We don't know where that God's plan will end us at. We're not sure. We have to trust. We have to have faith that God has a plan, and God has this in our prayers, and He will lead us where we need to be and where we are headed. Sometimes God doesn't inform us of His plans and His ideas until much later. Sometimes we have to just take it on faith for a month or two or a year or two. Sometimes it's not evident until much later why the things were done the way they were done. But I guess the biggest thing we wanted to let everybody know is that we're looking at joining with the UCC church in this interim process. It will be a joint call for an interim minister, but we are not joining the UCC. We are not joining churches. We are not combining buildings. We are not combining worship services. We are not combining. We are only combining the services of the interim minister. He'll be one pastor that works in two locations. He will serve two separate, distinct congregations. We will continue to have our own services, our own worships, our own style of worship. The UCC will continue to do their own style. The only thing that will probably be the same is he'll probably reuse the sermon between the two services. The St. Luke's will be staying at 9 o'clock service. The UCC has traditionally had a later service. It used to be 10:30, but they went ahead and moved it to 11. So he will preach here from 9 to 10, have fellowship hour, and then be up there in time to preach to them at 11 o'clock. The way the logistics will work, he'll be probably have two days a week in each church for office hours, and with the fifth day of the week will be dedicated more towards sermon prep, and will be split between the two churches as he's serving the same message for both churches. What's coming up next in the quick horizon, besides the meetings tonight, this afternoon, and tomorrow? Next week we are having a congregational meeting. You've all been informed of that went out by email and letter. That congregational meeting is simply to approve an articles of agreement that basically it's agreement that says yes, we are willing to share the costs of having Pastor Seidow as our interim minister. The actual agreement does not specify who the minister is. It just specifies that we are willing to share the costs and share the responsibilities of having an interim for the next year or so. And this is the congregation needs to vote on this. The council does not have authority to enter into agreements like this without your approval. And as far as hiring Pastor Seidow, since he's technically already retired, but this would be, he would be doing this post-retirement as a interim, we are, the councils of both organizations are able to finalize a contract with him and to actually officially call him to serve here. But that's coming up next Sunday. In 2 weeks, we have Pastor Sarah from our Rocky Mountain Synod will be here. She will be, she may be preaching that Sunday, maybe not. We'll know more after the results of next meeting, next couple meetings. If it works out right, Pastor Seidow is available to come up here in the middle of the month. He could be here, I think he'd leave the 18th or something. There is a possibility he would be able to be here and preach on the 23rd. After service on the 23rd, Sarah from Synod has a PowerPoint presentation about an hour long that you're all invited to stay for. And it basically walks us through step by step what the call process looks like, what we will be doing over the next year, what it takes to call a minister. It's how they have to go through the process. Both our Synod and the UCC conference will vet candidates and then give the candidates to us, and we'll have to form a call committee. The call committee will have to search and look at those names and interview them and before a selection is made. But as part of this call process, we may not stay in a joint ministry with the UCC. That's one of the big things that we will be looking at over the next year, is what is the future of pastoral ministry in St. Luke's. Is it a single minister for our church? Is it a shared minister with UCC? Is it a shared minister with another congregation in town? Is it a shared minister with a Lutheran congregation in an adjoining community? There are many different options and many different ways that we could go forward. And that is the what we're looking at. There'll be a lot of work left to do moving forward to see how we can work, how we can find what God's plan for us is. That's the biggest thing is, yeah, God always has a plan for everything, but he doesn't always tell you up front what the plan is. It's sometimes you have to wait and see and figure it out. We have to have that faith and hope and trust that his plan for us is a good plan. It may not be the same plan that we want. Yeah, like I always say, thy will, not my will, be done. My will, I'd like things to go some way at times, but they don't always work that way. Years later, I found out, oh, well, it wasn't supposed to work that way because something better came down the pipe because I didn't do that previously. And I guess going back to the second reading today, James is talking about how God has not chosen the rich only or the poor. He wants to serve everybody. He wants, whether you have gold or whether you're poor in tattered clothes, it doesn't matter. God serves everyone. And that's what we should do as a congregation. We need to serve this entire community. It makes no difference where people come from or what they've done previously. If they want to worship with us, if they want to minister to God, then we should welcome them with open arms. And that's one of the big benefits of this church that I hear over and over again from visitors, that we are a welcoming congregation, a welcoming community of faith. We are a strong community. We have a strong faith-based community. We have strong beliefs. We believe that God can and will save us. In the gospel, Mark talks about the miracles of Jesus, the miracles that God, he brought the demons out of these people. He was able to get the blind to see, the deaf, the mute to speak. He's able to do miraculous things. And sometimes, although it's tough, although it's hard, sometimes we have to just sit back and say, okay, God, what's next? We just have to have faith that he has a plan for us. And that's the tough part. We're 45, 50 different individuals in the room right now. Everybody has different ideas. Everybody has different wants and needs and wishes for the congregation. But in the end, we have one mission, and that mission is to serve the people of this community, to worship our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, to proclaim His Holy Spirit to Buffalo and the surrounding community. And how we do that, the exact details, the exact leadership, the exact ins and outs of everything are probably up in the air. We don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. I can't see in the future. I can't tell you exactly what it's going to look like 6 months from now or a year from now. But I know if we stay strong, if we work together, work through the process with the help of everyone involved, we can get there. We can remain strong. We've done it before. We're 99 years now, heading into 100. We're on the downhill side of 100. We've been here a long time. We fought the tough fight. We've walked the tough walk. We've done what we needed to do to get to this place at this day and time. And we need to have faith that God's will lead us in the right direction. I guess one last thing. I had to go to a funeral yesterday. A friend of mine. I went to his with her brother in high school. She ended up taking her own life this week. She felt she had no way out. But we need to know there's always a way out with God. If we believe in Him, trust in Him, He will give us a way out. He will lead us into a better place. And we must trust that even though it's hard, it's tough, it is like a loss. We're dealing with a loss in this congregation, but we need to move forward. We need to know that it's not, death is not the answer. We can't just walk away and leave this world, leave this church behind. We need to move forward and move forward for the rest of them. Like, she took the easy way out and she's gone. But it probably didn't end her suffering. It definitely didn't end her family's suffering. They're the ones left behind are the ones that are hurting the most. The ones that have to deal with the loss and moving on. And as a compassionate membership of Christian individuals in this congregation, we need to keep that in mind, that we need to be here for those that are still here with us. We need to do up what it takes to make this a strong congregation. We've done it before. We could do it again. We will survive. If anyone's interested, we invite you to come to the council meeting this afternoon. Tomorrow night, I think we'd prefer just to have the council members there, because we're going to have a packed house and it's going to be 8-on-1, which is might be unnerving for Pastor Seidel, but we will definitely give you reports of what we find out on that, and we're more than willing to be transparent and share as much information as possible. If you have any questions about the process, any questions about what we are doing as far as a council or the joint efforts between the UCC and St. Luke's, please get a hold of me, get a hold of any council member. Let us know what your concerns are. We want a minister that serves everybody in this congregation. We want something that somebody that can minister to everyone. And we have a good candidate now for interim, but he will only be here for the next year or so until the call process is done. And that's the thing to keep in mind. He's not the permanent replacement. He's here. This is a part-time interim position. When his work is done, we will have a called minister here. And how that relationship will be is still up in the air. That'll be decided over the next year. So, please just keep all of us in our prayers. Keep prayers for the church. Keep prayers for St. Luke's as a whole, and for all the leadership, and for all the members, all the congregation. Just keep us in your prayers and we'll get through this. We'll find out what God's plan is for us, which we may not find out the plan till after the fact, but he'll eventually show us the way. So. In God's name, amen.
Thank you.
freed by God in Christ to live and love and serve, we pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's beloved creation. Gracious God, you call your church to proclaim the love of Christ to a needy world. Embolden us to be your risen body by welcoming strangers and serving our neighbors. Lord, in your mercy. Creative God, small sprouts and tall trees proclaim your majesty. Give us clear eyes to see nature's beauty and wise minds to protect our home, this earth, from the misuse and harm. Lord, in your mercy. Sovereign God, you draw order from chaos. Watch over the nations of the world. Bless citizens and leaders who strive toward the beloved community for which you long. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, you give us all that we need. When your children suffer from hunger, poverty, loneliness, persecution, injury, or illness, send generous helpers and companions. We pray especially for those we mentioned before you now. Lord, in your mercy. Welcoming God, you set a table for us. Embolden this congregation to seek new ways of inviting others to the feast of all creation. Lord, in your mercy. You bless us with throngs of saints who witness to your compassion. With gratitude, we recall the lives and deeds of those who proclaim loving kindness to the needy world. Lord, in your mercy. Into your wide embrace, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your boundless mercy through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. Let us share the peace. The peace of Christ be with you always.
thanksgiving for the word. Let us pray. Praise and thanks to you, Holy God, for your word. You made all things. You spoke light into darkness, called forth beauty from chaos, and brought life into being. For your word of life, O God,
we give you thanks and praise.
By your word, you called your people Israel to tell of their wonderful gifts. Freedom from captivity, water on the desert journey, a pathway home from exile, wisdom for life with you. And for your word of life, O God,
we give you thanks and praise.
Through Jesus, your word made flesh, you speak to us and call us to witness. Forgiveness through the cross, life to those entombed by death, the way of your self-giving love, and for your word of life, O God,
we give you thanks and praise.
Send your spirit of truth, O God, rekindle your gifts within us, renew our faith, increase our hope, and deepen our love for the sake of a world in need. Faithful to your word, O God, draw near to all who call on you, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit we honor and glory forever.
Amen.
Join me in the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Holy Spirit.
Thanks be to God.